praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee faithfully served the Lord for more than seven decades, co-laboring with Watchman Nee in China in the first half of the 20th century, before continuing his ministry in Taiwan, later in America, and eventually over the entire earth. He spoke these weekly life study messages before thousands of people, and much of his speaking has been published as over 400 titles. These life studies are perhaps his most significant work, taking 21 years for him to complete, and we're happy today to be able to bring you selected portions from those messages. If you'd like to find out more about his ministry, about the life studies themselves, and Living Stream Ministry, please visit our website, lsm.org. Now let's join today's program. Once again, Ed Marks is with us in the studio today as we look at the second of a two-part message dealing with Hiram, the builder of the pillars in 1 Kings. And Ed, this is really a life study of Genesis, but we're taking a short detour through 1 Kings to really explore this matter of the one person in the Old Testament record named by name as being involved in the actual construction of God's house, God's temple. Ed, I think this broadcast today is going to need a little review and background for those listeners that were not with us last time.
The previous program on Hiram, the skillful builder of the pillars, was quite marvelous. Hiram was the one who built the pillars in the temple. What we see from this is that, firstly, we need to be transformed to be pillars in God's building, which is the church, the body of Christ. But we shouldn't just be satisfied with being transformed to be pillars. We need to become pillar builders. With Hiram, 2 Chronicles 2:14 tells us that his mother was from the daughters of Dan. Dan is compared to a serpent biting the horse's heels. And the tribe of Dan was involved in idolatry. This shows that our source is a source of sin. We were born in sin. Psalm 51:5 says, "In sin did our mother conceive us." So the mother of Hiram signifies his human existence. Then when we come to Hiram's father, we see in 1 Kings 7:14 that his father was from Tyre. Now, if we look at Ezekiel 28, we see that Tyre was a center of commerce. This shows that Hiram got his skill from his father. His father was a Tyrian father. This signifies a person engaged in commerce who's skilled in business. Hiram got his skill from his Tyrian father. Hiram was the son of a widowed woman, and he was of the tribe of Naphtali. This means that his Tyrian father died. But what's so strange about this verse is his mother was from the daughters of Dan, his father was a Tyrian, but he was of the tribe of Naphtali. Naphtali signifies resurrection and transformation. Genesis 49:21 tells us that Naphtali was a hind let loose, speaking beautiful words. And in Habakkuk 3:18, this verse tells us that when we're in resurrection, we have hind's feet and we walk upon high places. This signifies transformation. So in order for us to be a skillful builder of the pillars, we need to realize that we are persons born in sin. But we also have to acquire the skill of this world. We have to be trained with the proper education and skill. But that skill that we get, signified by our father who's from Tyre, needs to go into death. But when it goes into death and comes up in resurrection, we become a person in resurrection of the tribe of Naphtali. We become a transformed person in resurrection with the resurrected skill that God can use for his building.
Ed, thank you. That is a difficult but very well done introduction, and it's going to help us as we get into this life study. So let's join Witness Lee.
Here in the record of these pillar builder. harem, you have three peoples. The people of Dan, the people of Tyre, and the people of Naphtali. His mother was of the people of Dan. And his father was of the people of Tyre. And he himself became of the tribe of Naphtali. Right? Now, we have to ask, how could such a person, born of Danite mother and a Tyrian father, how could he become one of Naphtali? I have to tell you, it is mysterious. It is mysterious. It is so strange and so interesting. That is, the Tyrian father died. The source of the secular skill was cut off by God. As a human being, you still have to exist. Even Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. I have been crucified. Yet, I live. The old man, the old husband, the old father has been crucified. Yet, I live. What can I, the existing I, the mother, the human existence, still exists? Now, we use Moses as a good example. He was born and he was raised up in the Egyptian royal family. There he has learned all the learnings, wisdoms of the Egyptians. Then at 40 years of age, he saw it. He was qualified. So he went out to do what he could to rescue his people from the usurping hand of the Egyptians. And he failed. Why? Because his Tyrian father, the Egyptian connection, was still there. You see the point? That means the source of his skill was not cut off. He was still tied up with that source. Then the Lord came in to cut off that connection. And he ran away. He escaped into the wilderness. That means the source of his skill was cut off. That Tyrian father, the Egyptian royal family, died. But he didn't die. He was still existing. So the mother, which signifies the human existence, still there. The father died, but the mother not. Yet the mother was widowed, still existing, but no more tie with that old husband. Right. Still existing, but no more tie with the world source. So many young brothers and young sisters all got an unbalanced concept, thinking we are expecting that he could come right away. Now waiting, he may come back after 2 years. Now, I am just the 10th grade. And I need 2 years to finish my high school. Right? It might be before finishing my high school, the Lord comes. I don't need to get myself prepared to enter into Harvard. Forget about that. I better spend more time to fellowship, to talk to the young brothers, sitting together, talking about this, about that, till 1 o'clock in a minute. We don't need to read that much. We don't need to study that much. Why? Because after 2 years, Lord comes back. Why do we have to waste our time? I tell you, this kind of attitude will delay the Lord to come back 2 centuries. Just because of you. He will say, okay, I will come back 2 centuries later. That's because of you. Not only you have to study, your son has to study, and your grandson has to study. The fact is, you have to get PhD. And I know what is on the heart of the young sisters. Oh, we sisters, you know, me. That's about high school or junior high. Good enough. We can read the Bible. We will not be the elders and this and that. We don't need to waste time. Just take it easy. Let's just finish high school and the most junior high. Good enough. If you haven't got a husband, as long as you learn little trade, little tapping, you can make $500, $600. It's good enough. Let us have a good, easy, happy Christian life and church life. I know this is all together in your heart. You sure have to drop this. I can assure you, regardless how much you love the Lord, if this is the case of yours, you could not be used by the Lord so much. When you are still young, no time in your study will be wasted. You have to study. Well, the Lord may come back after 2 years. I did not tell you no or yes. But anyhow, you young ones have to study. Have to pick up the Terran skill. Have to. You all have to finish. Not only junior college. At least every young one has to finish university.
Ed, I thought that it was very interesting that Witness Lee gave a strong exhortation to the young ones to vigorously pursue their education in their youth. In other words, to pick up the Tyrian skill. Does this conflict with the idea that as Christians, we want to live as if the Lord is going to return any day?
No, this doesn't conflict at all. Actually, if we want the Lord to return, we need to be prepared by Him to be useful for His building. You know, even when the Lord returns, if we look at Matthew 24, verses 40 and 41, these verses tell us that when the Lord comes back, two men will be in the field, and one is taken and one is left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one is taken and one is left. These words, in the field and grinding, signify working for a living. This means the Lord will return when we're working. And in order for us to work in a proper way, we need to be trained with the proper skill. Two good patterns are Paul and Moses. Paul was really trained. If we look at the book of Acts, chapter 22, verse 3, Paul tells us that he was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel. Paul was an expert in the law. He was trained in the religious law of Judaism. But we know Paul met the Lord. And his natural skill, which typifies the Tyrian father, died, went into death. But when Paul came up in resurrection, the Lord was able to use that skill that he had got from Gamaliel for Paul to write 14 epistles of the New Testament. It was the same with Moses. If we look at Acts 7, verse 22, it says, Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was powerful in his words and works. Young people shouldn't think, well, the Lord's going to come back. I don't need to be educated. No. If you want to be like Moses, you need to be educated. Moses had the top education. But of course, we know that that's something from the natural realm. But that top Egyptian education equipped Moses to write the Pentateuch. This is not a small thing. So we want to encourage all the young people listening and all of our young people whom we love and who are lovers of Jesus to get the top education and the top skill to consecrate that to the Lord, to allow that to go into death and come up into resurrection so that they can be pillar builders, to build the church for God's heart's desire.
Thank you, Ed. That is a wonderful exhortation. Let's rejoin Witness Lee for more of this life study.
After you get the degrees, you have to cut off the tie. You may get 2 degrees from MIT or CIT, whatever IT. You got some kind of a degree. I don't mean you have to burn the diploma. You have to keep it for your business. But within you, you have to say, my parent father just dies on my graduation day. You have to labor and to labor and to labor and to labor 5, 6, 7, 8 years to get your degree. After you got it, you have to say, my tyrant father is in the coffin. The good thing is, Moses, after he left Egyptian royal family, he never mentioned again. That was buried. The father of the skill must die. The skill is useful, but the father is stinking. Your doctor degree is useful, but the doctor title is stinking. So do your best to pick up the degree. When you get it, cut off. The parent father has to die. Why? Because if this father at origin is not dead, this father always keeps you fully tied in the world. Your education will be the strongest tie. Not only so, anyone that is proud of their high education is through with the knowing of the Bible. Regardless how high in your education, you have to be fully humble to tell the Lord, Lord, I am just like a little boy. I am teachable. I am altogether empty in my whole being. Even though I got 3 degrees, I got 3 PhDs, yet, Lord, I know nothing. I'm not filled up. In my spirit, I'm empty. In my mind, I'm empty. In my emotion, I'm empty. In my whole being, I'm empty. So you must cut off the tie to become just a boy or a girl, knowing nothing. I'm fully empathy. I'm fully empathy in my spirit, in my heart, in my mind. Though I got 3 degrees, I am fully empathy. Then you can understand the Bible.
Ed, we first got the exhortation to study and obtain the skills. But on the other hand, the degrees and the skills will never satisfy us. Though after the father dies, as you mentioned previously, they do become quite useful in serving the Lord. What does this signify, to obtain the skill or degree, and then let the father die?
We have seen that Hiram's father was of Tyre, but his father died. This signifies that the origin of the secular skill has to die. But his mother, this means the human existence has to remain. So once we acquire the top skill, the top education, as lovers of Jesus, we need to consecrate that skill to Christ. This means that we acquire the top skill, but we're not tied to that skill. We're not tied to the world through that skill, merely to make money, to have success in the world. No, we gain the top skill in education, But we give that to the Lord, allow that to go through death and come up into resurrection so that our resurrected skill, ability, and education can be used for God's heart's desire. So we might gain the top skill in education, but we would not be filled up with that. We would still be poor in spirit. We would still be like children, emptied and opened to receive fresh revelation and new thoughts from the mind of Christ, so that we can be filled up with Him in resurrection and use our skill in resurrection to build up the body of Christ.
Ed, thank you for your fellowship today. We have one section left. Let's rejoin Witness Lee for our conclusion.
The father has to die, the mother must remain. The origin of the secular skill has to go, but our human existence has to remain. You shouldn't consider that you will not live long. You all have to consider that you all will have a long life. I tell you, good number of times, I did pray, Lord, I surely ask you to give me a long life. I don't like to learn the things of you. After a short time, I'll be gone. I don't like that. I like to learn the things of you, and I like to exist, that all the learnings may be useful. And you young people must hold such an attitude. Lord, I know you are coming soon, but I don't like to see you in resurrection. But I like to see you in rapture. I like to live a long life until you come, not for my enjoyment, but for your usefulness. I like to be a useful person for your purpose on this earth. So you all have to say, Lord, I surely want the terran father die. But don't want this before your graduation. When you get the graduation, you say, Lord, bury this father. But Lord, keep the mother living. That means what? Give me a long life. I don't like to die. The father, I say again, has to die. And the mother, your human existence, has to remain. The two things. And you all have to stand against any weakness. Tell the Lord, oh, I don't like to have an unhealthy body. I don't like to have a weak body. When Moses was 120 years old, he was so strong. Still so strong. Lord, let my strength be as my days. But take care of your body to have a good existence. Let the husband die, but keep the mother in a widowed situation still living. My terran father died, but I tell you, my dad and mother are still here. Amen. Living. Amen. For what purpose? Not for health, but for his usefulness.
Ed, a very touching testimony by Witness Lee here. But it really helped, I think, to make the point that we need our Tyrian father to die, but we must pray that our Dan-S mother would live. This message today is very much focused at the young ones. Can you say something to these younger listeners about all that we've seen and talked about today?
We want to encourage all the young people to consecrate their lives to Christ and to get the top education that they're capable of getting. The top skill that they're capable of getting in this world, not so that they can use it for their success, but so that they can consecrate it to Christ, so that it can be brought into death and come up into resurrection, so that God can use their capacity and their skill for his building, for the building up of his church, which is the body of Christ and which will consummate the New Jerusalem. For this, we need to follow Solomon's example. In 2 Chronicles 1:10, Solomon prayed that the Lord would give him wisdom and knowledge that he might know how to go out and come in before God's people. We also need to pray this. We should pray, Father, give me Christ as my wisdom in contacting all your people so that I can dispense the riches of Christ to any kind of person in any kind of status at any age. Also, we need to pray for a long life. In Psalm 91:16, you could look at this verse. You can look at Deuteronomy 33, verse 25. These verses tell us we need to pray that God would give us a long life, not so that we can spend it on the world or on our pleasures, but so that the Lord can use our life to flow out of us for his building and his heart's desire. This is the significance of Hiram's mother remaining as a widow. The Tyrian father dies. That means the origin of the secular skill dies. But the mother remains. This means the human existence has to remain in a long life to fulfill God's heart's desire. So we want to encourage all the young people to consecrate their lives to Christ, to acquire the top skill and the top education so that they can become useful vessels for God's heart's desire.
Ed, I'd like to thank you. There are some young people that live in my house, and I'm going to see to it that they are given a chance to listen to this program.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you for listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee spent 7 decades in the 20th century speaking Christ, first in Asia and then North America, eventually all over the world. The culmination of those 70 years of ministry was his Life Study of the Bible, an exhaustive exposition of the entire Scriptures. This unique commentary focuses on how Christ can be life to man in an experiential and practical way. These programs encapsulate Witness Lee's speaking in just 26 minutes. But to get the complete riches, visit lifestudy.com. From there, you can read all of the Life Study messages in their entirety or download any of our more than 1,700 audio programs at no cost. Again, that website is lifestudy.com. Thanks for listening.